You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we've been told since we were kids that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I was telling the listeners earlier on to say, hey, I once came across somebody who says, no, you must only start eating food around midday to 1 o'clock. But our schedule sometimes, I guess, make it that, right? Get busy and trends like intermittent fasting take over. Many are starting to wonder if that is the case. Is that old saying a scientific fact? Or maybe it was just the order of the day because people would get busy during the day, therefore they started with food. Or maybe it's a marketing myth. They want us to buy those breakfast products. Today, we're going to be finding out if skipping that morning bowl of cereal is actually sabotaging your health, or if your body even needs to get it for moving on, right? So that's the conversation this morning as we look at breakfast being the most important meal of the day. It's got a question mark, by the way. It's not a statement. And we're joining us on the line to make this health conversation make sense for us is Dr. Ditatane Nkasi, who joins us now on the line. Doc, good morning to you and welcome to Adventist World Radio SID Media.
Good morning, Derek. I'm still blessed, and I hope the same for you and to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Doc. No, we are doing quite well. The Lord is keeping, and we appreciate you for joining us this morning. Doc, we are looking at this idea of breakfast. Now, the phrase itself, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, is an iconic one, age-old and trusted all through the centuries past, right? Is there actual scientific evidence to this, or is it just clever marketing slogan and perhaps just traditional?
No, there's no scientific evidence behind it, although the food companies, the morning cereal companies, have sponsored quite numerous researchers trying to make it look like it's scientific. There's none whatsoever. Derek, that term was actually coined for the first time by a lady called Lena Cooper in 1917. Okay. She was a protege of Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, and she was appointed as the chief dietitian at the Battle Creek Sanitarium. Mm-hmm. She wrote this in 1917, and the actual phrase was, in many ways, breakfast is the most important meal of the day because it is the meal that gets the day started. Mm-hmm. Remember Dr. Kellogg and his brother W.K. Kellogg, they worked endlessly to come up with the morning cereal, the Kellogg's brand, which we use. Both Kellogg, Dr. Kellogg and Ms. Cooper, they promoted breakfast as giving energy for the rest of the day. It's not surprising that billion-dollar breakfast companies like his actually try to convince us of this theory. But remember, even peer-reviewed scientific research can be fiddled with, or they can set it up in such a way that it delivers results which they desire. So rigorous scientific random control trials have proven it is a fallacy to say breakfast leads to healthier results than other meal times. Their outcomes indicate best results achieved by being consistent with two meal times, preferably noon and supper. Mm-hmm. But I'll explain that later as we go on, what they found out.
No, thank you so much for that. And yeah, you just burst our bubbles right there, because here we were thinking you're going to validate it with some science. No, it makes sense, because if you eat early, then you've got energy for the rest. But you're just saying, nope, there is no science whatsoever. What about this saying? I mean, because I'm just thinking that's not the only saying I've heard. I've heard the other one. It goes something like, have breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and dinner like a pauper. Does it also stand with no scientific evidence whatsoever?
That speaks more to the circadian rhythms of our bodies. Okay. The body can withstand a larger meal during the day. Breakfast, you eat as little as you can, and evenings as well. You don't eat a large meal when you're going to bed. That's obvious. So it's similar to the, you know, the circadian rhythms of our body is clocks which God has put into our systems, like When it's night, you should sleep. Yeah. Even if you're a watchman, you will definitely sleep because you cannot change the circadian rhythms. Mm. So they are divided into 8 hours. The first 8 hours will be eating window, eat everything you can, and then you stop after that. We shouldn't be eating during the night after the sun has gone down. And then the second 8 hours will be assimilation and cleaning the body. And then the last 8 hours will be your wake and sleep cycles, etc. So that sentence is only aligned to that natural phenomenon in our body.
Yeah, no, we are learning today. We are definitely learning. Now, the other thing that comes through with the idea of having breakfast and why it's such an important meal is that there's a thinking that it kickstarts the day, right, and kickstarts your metabolism. Does skipping it truly slow down our ability to function and maybe to be energetic for the day, or is this also a misconception?
Well, let me just say, before I say anything, metabolism is a non-stop process,
okay,
which is influenced by lifestyle. It's a continuous process. It never stops. So you actually don't need, you can't kickstart it. Yeah, you can't say you kickstart it as if it had stopped. Yeah. So it's I don't know how people can actually get to convince people of these things, but it's not true. Meal times are not a one size fits all. The longest living people are Enoch and Elijah because they never died. They are still alive. They never ate breakfast. And they are certainly not eating breakfast wherever they are. Whether they are in heaven or they are visiting other planets, they are not having breakfast. So metabolism, maybe we should just explain metabolism in simple terms to our listeners. Metabolism means the total chemical processes undergone by the body to produce energy from the food and internal cellular processes. That's what it means. So most breakfast cereals include processed cereals, ultra-processed sugar foods. The energy from these starches will last for a short period and lead to hunger pangs before lunch.
Okay.
Hence the introduction of energy bars or energy snacks in between meals. Mm-hmm. Besides the short-span energy you receive from the sugar, sugar is addictive and it excites the pleasure sensors in the brain, which in turn requests for more sugar via hunger pangs. And then you eat the sugar again, and then it releases dopamine in the brain. It becomes a vicious cycle. So these sugars, they raise blood glucose levels, and that is followed by increased insulin levels. All of this is something that eventually leads to inflammation and chronic diseases, which slows down, actually, it slows down your fat burning or your calorie burning, as they mention it. So if you eat breakfast, be careful to eat your whole food hot cereals instead of cold cereals, because the cold cereals are laden with carcinogenic glyphosates. There's a lot of research. Glyphosates are... they come from insecticides and pesticides, and they can't take it out of the wheat or the corn, whatever they are processing. Mm-hmm. So even the bacon and the sausages, they are bright pink because they have been laden with nitrites. They have been cured with nitrites. And the nitrites are also carcinogenic. So we must be very careful what we eat for breakfast.
Yeah, I know we're hearing that loud and clear. Thank you so much. But hey, you're taking away everything that we thought we could eat for breakfast. Maybe we need another session totally to say, what then do we put in that breakfast table? I'm just thinking...
The hot cereals.
Oh, okay, that's what, your porridge and stuff. Your oats.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just thinking, Doc, when you consider people with demanding... when you consider people with some demanding tasks, you know, people who are perhaps working in construction, farmers or students who are exacting schedules for the day, how important is breakfast for these people? How important is this morning routine?
Okay, you're referring to the people with cognitive functions who really use their brain, who engage their brain.
And some who use their muscles,
Yeah, so you see right there, each person has specific energy requirements and goals. And the correct question for everybody should be, what is the optimal nutritional and eating pattern to achieve my goals? For example, you mentioned muscles. Some people are in sports. Some people need to engage their brain more. Some people they have goals for weight loss. Some are fighting disease. These goals can change, even intertwine with one with the other as we traverse through life. So for the mentally taxing professions, the best fuel for the brain is something we call ketone bodies, not glucose, as traditionally thought. The body makes ketone bodies through exercise and fasting. And the combination of both is very good, actually, if one desires to reach the state of ketosis quickly. Ketosis is a stage where you're burning stored fat from the body. And instead of glycogen, which has been stored by the liver. So once that glycogen or the stored glucose is depleted, the body starts burning fat. So for these people who have mentally demanding jobs, it's better to skip breakfast. They should do morning physical exercise, including prayer and devotion, because both will rigorously exercise the brain. Nothing exercises the brain like a devotion. Yeah. On the other side, if a person eats breakfast, particularly the common cold cereals, which we've spoken about, which are high in starch and sugar, they stop the critical process which the body started during the unintentional nightly fast, which is autophagy. We call that process for autophagy is the production and it's the quality control of the body, where it starts recycling waste, particularly protein. And then it also, if you start eating those sugary breakfasts, you also stop something we call the secretion of BDNF. BDNF stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This particular neurotransmitter, it rebuilds the new brain cells. It improves cognition and memory, and it also works very good with fat burning during the ketosis state. So if you have a mentally taxing job, don't eat breakfast.
And if you have a manual taxing job, construction, like I had said, farmers and so forth, people who are using their physical bodies?
Yeah, it might be a combination of also stopping breakfast, because you remember when the Israelites were about to go into the long journey leaving Egypt, God actually said they must eat a lot of meat, a lot of bitter herbs, and a little bit of bread without yeast. That particular diet is very similar to what we now call the ketogenic diet. It's very good for if you're going to run a marathon, you need stamina. You need stamina.
Yeah,
it's very good for stamina. So if you're using muscles, actually, the energy that you are using is not from the meal you have had in the past 4 hours, because digestion and metabolism, it takes about more than 20 hours, approximately 20 hours, before you can actually start receiving benefit from the meal you have eaten. So eating a meal in the morning and thinking is going to give you energy throughout the day is a fallacy. But drinks will give you energy within 15 minutes, but a meal, it doesn't. It takes very long.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that, because certainly that's something that we were always thought, no, in fact, if you're going to be a builder, if you need to be a farmer, just, you know what, put out there and eat a full meal in the morning, pap, and some cereals, you know, so that you can be found having energy. But you're saying, no, this food is not going to actually be utilized by your body until quite a long time from now. If someone isn't hungry first thing in the morning, is it unhealthy to force a meal or rather, like you're saying already, we don't even need that meal anyway? Is that maybe the better approach?
It's unhealthy to force anybody to eat any meal. People have preferences. People have preferences which are dictated by their natural hunger regulation system, the environment they live in, their life cycle, etc. Forced eating may lead to psychological and physical and social problems because, you know, eating is a social activity. It may cause food repulsions, food aversions, it may cause anxiety. I must confess, I also eat breakfast, but not because it's healthy, but because I was forced to eat it. My parents entrenched it into me. So I tried to leave it, and I was actually, my health was at its peak when I don't eat breakfast. But I just came to eat because of habit. So eating first thing in the morning, even the 3 square meals that we are eating, is a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior and a learned habit. It's not a psychological or biological necessity. It's imported from the Western civilization during the Industrial Revolution. So yes, it's not healthy to force people to eat.
And people who've got maybe some diseases, I know people say, you know what, you need to eat because you need to take your medication, diabetics and so forth. Do they then need to at least partake this so that they can take their morning pills?
Drugs. We are talking about drugs now. Yes, you see, drugs are actually designed to piggyback on food. Yeah. And most of the time you'll hear the doctors, when we give you drugs, they will say either before meals or after meals. Mm-hmm. That's how they are designed. But like I said earlier, eating breakfast is not a necessity, but you made an example of diabetic.
Yeah.
Diabetics, they measure their blood sugar in the morning because the blood sugar will be at its lowest because of the fasting that you have gone through in the morning, in the evening, when you are asleep. So it's really depending on how high your blood sugar is, but fasting is actually the best thing you can do for a diabetic. So once again, it goes on to show how important fasting is. You see, we are not maintaining a balance between fasting and eating. The fasting should be longer than the eating window within any 24 hours. So one has to find their way how long they should fast. I always recommend a minimum of 14 hours, including the nightly sleep or fasting. So eating in the morning is actually not the best biological thing you can do for your body, whether you have diabetic or you are healthy.
Indeed, that is quite important. Getting a comment here, Doc, before we wrap up. My daughter doesn't eat. Should I just then let her be?
Absolutely. If children were not forced to eat breakfast, the natural thing is not to eat breakfast. If you look at the Bible, the patriarchs and prophets were not eating breakfast. I mean, the guy who even had the most meals is Elijah. He had 2 meals. And if you read carefully between the lines, you read the Bible and you read Spirit of Prophecy, there is no breakfast in the meal. So just let the child run their natural process and skip breakfast, because they lengthen their fasting, something that we call intermittent fasting. We make it look like it's scientific, but it's not scientific, it's natural.
Doc, this idea of the patriarchs and the prophets not eating breakfast, where is it coming from?
Well, if you look in the Bible, the only breakfast you will find are the Israelites when God gave them manna in the morning.
Yeah.
And then we also have John chapter 21, verse 1 through 13, after the resurrection, when Jesus called his apostles and gave them breakfast. Those are the only 2 incidences. Other than that, if you look at the most popular meal in the Bible, it's supper. Because, you know, Jewish marriages were held during the night. Passover was during the night. The tabernacle, the Feast of the Tabernacle, All the festivities in the Bible are held during the night. They were eating supper. But we can't even say supper is the best meal of the day. It was only a social event, because a meal includes sharing and people come together to talk and enjoy and be happy, etc. But breakfast, it's not there in the Bible. It's not there in SOP. Yeah. I know Ellen White corrects a few people by saying this is how you should eat breakfast, but she does not say it's bad or good eating breakfast, and she doesn't elevate it above other meal times as well.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for that. Well, we'll have to leave it there for today. Any final thoughts you'd want to just live as a lasting mind thought in the minds of our listener?
Derek, as Christians, we should actually investigate deeply, because we are living in a world that deceives us. And I just want to say, everything we do, we shouldn't just follow tradition. We should check in the Bible. What does the Bible say? And lastly, I also wish to thank you for having me. And I hope we will meet sometime on this earth. And I hope if we don't meet on this earth, I hope we will meet in heaven. And I shall certainly be at gate number 7 if you will be looking to meet me up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doc. We'll see you at gate number 7. That's a beautiful way to wrap up our session. Appreciating you once again.
Have a blessed day. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Titatane. They're joining us this morning. Wow, yeah, what a conversation. This one will be available as a podcast.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.